It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferrett. 2 weeks ago, the U.S. House of Representatives passed the budget reconciliation bill, labeled the Big Beautiful Bill. It passed by one vote, 215 to 214.
Now it's moved to the Senate, where Democrats are voicing opposition because of major cuts to programs like SNAP and Medicaid. But there also are a few Republican senators who say they plan to vote no if there aren't changes to the budget, mostly focused on the size of the deficit.
That includes Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, who joins us now. Senator Johnson, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
What is your main point of contention with the bill as it passed the House?
Well, first of all, I think the lack of focusing on the facts and figures during the House passage is the first thing we need to address. So without belaboring on too many facts and figures, let me just lay out the basics. 2019, the federal government spent $4.4 trillion. This year, we'll spend over $7 trillion. That's a 58% increase. It's unprecedented other than World War II. We have to return to a reasonable pre-pandemic level spending. If you look at CBO's 10-year projection, I know the House talked about $1.5 trillion. Sounds like a lot, but in context of CBO's projected $89.3 trillion of 10-year spending, and in light of their $22 trillion projected deficit, that would be $2.2 trillion per year of deficits. And let me put that in context. President Obama, because of the Tea Party pressure, in his first term, spent about $1.3 trillion annual deficits. Restrained in the second term is about $550 billion. Trump came in, first three terms, had to do deals with Democrats, that up to 810. Of course, then COVID hit as a $3.1 trillion year deficit. And again, responsible leadership would have returned to certainly under $1 trillion worth of deficits in the following years, once economy and was recovering, employment was returned. But that didn't happen. Biden, on average, he averaged deficits of $1.9 trillion. And that's our starting point. That's apparently the new normal. I'm not accepting a new normal. And unfortunately, the Big Beautiful Bill pretty well accepts that new normal. We're not bending the deficit trajectory curve downward. And that ought to be the first goal of a Senate, any kind of Republican budget reconciliation process.
House Speaker Mike Johnson has urged Republican senators, including you, to support the bill. Here's what he told NBC's Meet the Press after saying he agrees with you about government spending.
We can't flip a magic switch and reverse it overnight, but this is the largest step forward in the right direction that Congress has ever made. I liken this to an aircraft carrier. You don't turn an aircraft carrier on a dime. It takes a mile of open ocean. This is the biggest turn in that wheel that we would have had in generations.
Okay, maybe not the full deal there, Senator Johnson, but a good first step. What do you think?
Well, listen, I also respect Speaker Johnson. I understand his challenge, but that's just rhetoric. Again, look at the facts and figures. One of the reasons we weren't able to turn that ship a little bit sharper is we never looked at the facts and figures. We pulled $1.5 trillion out of the air, completely out of context. It's not meeting the moment. So in order to actually pass something, you need to make the case. You have to win the argument. You have to show, like I just did in my latest chart, you know, those four-year deficit figures going from 550 under Obama, 810 under Trump, then the $3.1 trillion under COVID, and then Biden keeping it at $1.9 trillion. Again, you have to look at those figures and then look at the CBO projections and realize this piece of legislation does not bend that deficit curve down. It isn't even close to returning us to subpar, even $1.5 trillion year deficits. We're at 1.9, heading toward 2.5. So again, it's simply not meeting the moment. It's completely inadequate, but you have to talk about facts and figures. This is a budget reconciliation process, and all we're really hearing is slogans and rhetoric, not substance and figures.
Where do you see cuts needing to be made in the spending?
You have to go through every line of the federal budget. There's over 2,000 of them. You have to forensically audit over 2,600 federal government programs. I have to believe, and DOGE has shown us this, if you do that, if you put the spending under a microscope, there would literally be hundreds of billions of dollars throughout the federal budget that if you eliminate it, nobody would even notice other than the grifters who are sucking down the waste, fraud, and abuse. But you have to do the work. That takes time. Trying to rush a piece of legislation as complex and big as this through the process by July 4th, you're not going to do the work. Again, so we've done the same old process we've always done, exempt most programs, focus on a couple, make a couple tweaks, get a CBO score, pick a number out of the air and say, oh, this is a lot. This is historic. We've never done this before. Well, again, we've never increased spending by 58% from $4.4 to $7 trillion before. We need a much greater response to that grotesque level of spending excess.
Your Democratic colleagues have said, hey, you're not going to get this kind of spending reduction just by doing a waste, fraud, and abuse. Senator Tammy Baldwin, your Wisconsin Democratic colleague, worried about cuts to SNAP and Medicaid. Independent analysis by the Joint Economic Committee says between Affordable Care Act coverage and Medicaid, more than 200,000 Wisconsin residents would likely lose health insurance coverage under the plan as written. Does that concern you about the impact on Wisconsin?
Well, first of all, that's rhetoric again. You get basing on scores from somebody. What you'd hope is a lot of people would move from Obamacare, and that's what we're talking. We're not talking about doing anything with Medicaid for vulnerable, disabled children or pregnant women or the truly vulnerable. We're talking about Obamacare, which is now called Medicaid expansion, which is for single, able-bodied, working-age adults who aren't working, who should be working, who should be getting their health insurance by getting a job. And that Obamacare expansion, you got to understand this. For every dollar the state spends on traditional Medicaid, the federal government kicks in $1.33. Again, it was supposed to be a shared responsibility administered by the state so the states would control it, so they wouldn't offer it to ineligible individuals, wouldn't expand it where it becomes completely unaffordable. Obamacare, for every dollar the state spends, the federal government kicks in $9, which has led to all kinds of what I would call legalized fraud on the parts of state governments and those providers, provider fees, provider taxes. That's not health care, but the federal government reimburses that on 90 cents on the dollar. Again, it's unsustainable. It's Obamacare. It's not Medicaid. We all support Medicaid for the vulnerable. Again, this is all rhetoric from the other side. It's fear-mongering, which is what the big spenders always do, which is why we're $37 trillion in debt. And apparently, they're okay with going from $4.4 trillion to over $7 trillion in spending. I'm not. And I don't think the American public is for that if they actually understand the figures. And by the way, this can't go on. This can't go on. This massive deficit spending, this massive debt, this is going to blow up in our face sooner rather than later. And we've already experienced a chronic debt crisis, which is the devalued our dollar. A dollar you held in 2019 is only worth 80 cents. A dollar you held in 1998, when Clinton had a balanced budget, is worth 51 cents. That's the silent tax on everybody, particularly hurting the poor and the vulnerable. So again, I am fighting for our children and grandchildren and for fiscal sanity.
Talking to U.S. Senator Ron Johnson about the federal budget bill. How about the revenue side, Senator Johnson? A big part of that gap is coming from the 2017 tax cuts. Would you be willing, in the interest of cutting the deficit, to say, hey, we're not going to expand tax cuts? Maybe we can take another look at those 2017 cuts.
No, I do not want to increase anybody's taxes. We are back to basically a 50-year average of revenue as a percentage of GDP. Even though we had that tax cut, we started out about 17.1% of revenue as part of percentage of GDP. We're back to 17.1%. No matter how much you punish success, and I've got a great chart on this, whether it was 91% top marginal rate, 70, 50, all we're able to extract from the economy, from the American taxpayers, about 17.1% of GDP. We need to recognize that reality, and we have to start bringing spending back in line with that. So again, you can try punishing success. It just doesn't work.
A non-fiscal item in this budget bill that's gotten some attention in Wisconsin, the bill includes a 10-year moratorium on state and local regulation of AI technology. Now, three Wisconsin lawmakers, two Republicans and a Democrat, signed a letter to Congress saying, hang on, don't take away our ability to control this and respond to local concerns. What do you think about that effectively non-fiscal item in this budget bill?
I don't like it because it hasn't been discussed. It hasn't been debated. This is an incredibly complex issue. AI, and I'm using it right now just in terms of the budget debate. I'm doing sensitivity analysis on the CBO projection. It's marvelous. It's a great tool, but it could be unbelievably dangerous as well. So it's hard to say what is the right level of regulation on this. This is a very complex issue. So, I don't like including this kind of policy thing. By the way, I doubt this is going to survive the bird bath. I don't see how that could even And that's all policy. I don't understand what the budgetary impact of that would be at all.
Getting to the politics of this, Senator Johnson, Republicans in the Senate have a few votes to spare, not many. You're one vote. Do you have enough people, you think, on your side to make significant changes to this bill?
I'm fairly confident we do. And again, we want to see President Trump succeed. He's doing things that have to be done that no other president would do. So I totally support him. I want to see him succeed. I think you have to take a couple bites of the apple here. The only way we're going to be able to take the time to explain this to the American public, you know, all the things we're doing. I mean, you rush something through, that's where you're vulnerable to false attacks on what you're trying to do. So you need to take the time to forensically audit these programs, the spending, but you also have to take the time to explain it to the American public. We haven't taken that time. We need to.
And what do you say to your colleagues in the other chamber? A one-vote margin approved this thing. Any tweaks could spoil that coalition. What do you say to your Republican colleagues to support changes that you are attempting to put through?
Well, the president was able to twist arms in the House to pass this grossly inadequate package. So my guess, if we skinny this thing down, focus on the areas of agreement, things that have to be done, that ought to be a pretty easy sell to the House.
Senator Johnson, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Have a great day.
That's U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. He represents Wisconsin in the United States Senate. He joined us to talk about his opposition to the budget reconciliation bill as currently written. It's currently being debated in the Senate. What do you think about this bill as it's passed the House, now up for argument in the Senate? What do you want to see happen? What do you worry might happen? Tell us what's on your mind in this big package. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org with your thoughts.